name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. How many of us enjoy feeling a sense of favor? If you're having this sense of favor, I think all of us love it when we feel favored by those who are in front of us. Whether it be I feel like I'm favored by my parents, whether it be I'm favored by my friends, whether I'm favored by a servant or a buna, we have this sense where we enjoy the sense of being favored. And this is what the gospel of today is about. And if we can remember, you know, in the months of Kiyak, we read the first chapter of Luke, where it speaks about the details of the Annunciation and the about the what leads up to the birth of Christ. So last week we spoke about the Annunciation of the birth of John the Baptist, and this week we'll speak. We spoke about the Annunciation of the birth of the Lord Christ to the Virgin Saint Mary, and the words that the Archangel Gabriel used to describe Saint Mary, and he said it more than once, was this term favored. He says, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And then he says a couple of verses later, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." What does it mean that someone has favor with God? And I think, you know, if we would think of anything that we would like to hear God say to us, is that I favor you. I favor you. It means I like you. Right? I like, you know, who you are, and I'm pleased with what you are doing. If I'm a worker in a company, to hear these words from my boss mean the world. If I'm maybe a servant in the church, to hear these words from Abuna might mean the world to me. If I'm Abuna, it might mean the world to me if I hear these words from the bishop, right? Makes us have a sense of, I'm on the right path and I'm going the way in which I should go. So what does it mean when we say that a favor here, you are favored by me? And if you look in the Greek and in the Coptic, the word favored is the word charito, or in both Greek and Coptic is the same. And this actually is translated to grace, right? And that's why in the Katamaros, this was changed. Instead of highly favored one, I think in Coptic Reader it says, "O full of grace," because charito is most closely with being filled with grace. So he's coming and saying to Saint Mary that you have been filled with grace. So God extends His grace upon you. And there can be like two ways we can understand this word grace. As I said, one is to find favor, that I'm well-pleasing, you know. When we say somebody's favored by somebody, it's somebody who's well-pleasing. The second is, what's more closely is what this means, is that you've been filled with grace, that God has imparted of Himself to you. There's something that God gives of Himself to you. And if you think about it, why do I say if God giving something to us? Because if you think about it, when God Himself says that I have found favor with you, what is it that God, you know, sees in us that He doesn't have that He favors? Nothing. Nothing. He's far more complete, more perfect, more righteous, more holy, more capable, more everything than we are. So what is it that He sees in us that's even favorable except what? For Himself. Except for Himself. When He sees Himself in us, this is when He says, you are favored by me, because I see myself in you. So when God says to Saint Mary, oh, you full of grace, or the angel says to her, oh, you full of grace, it's as if God is telling her, I see myself in you. Grace, or this favor, is when God imparts of Himself to us. There's another person in the Old Testament that I could recall where God says that He sees Himself in him. Who? Good. David. David. What does it say? In 1 Samuel 13:14, it says, the Lord has sought for Himself a man after His own, what? Heart. His own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over His people. So the Lord searched all of Israel for a man to lead His people besides Saul. And he looked around and found the poor, ruddy, little, young David, and said about him that he is a man after my own heart. And in the book of Acts, it describes him and says what? And when he had removed him, he raised him up from them, David, as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found favor, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Who will do all my will. So if we ask the question, what is it in St. Mary, and what is in David the prophet that has appealed to God's favor? What is it that made them favorable before God? I think it's just two things. If we look at St. Mary, in St. Mary's, the gospel today, when the angel appeared to her, it said that she was troubled at his saying. It didn't say that she was troubled at the apparition. It didn't say that she was troubled at seeing a vision. Perhaps, and most likely, this was customary for her. This didn't trouble her. But what troubled her was what came after, when he started to say to her things like, highly favored one, full of grace, blessed are you among women. This is what troubled her. So, with St. Mary, what troubled her was these words of praise. What about with David? With David, we see, although we know he committed grievous sins, right? He was lazy. At a point in time, he was lazy. He was supposed to be out in a battle with his men, but he stayed home to relax. So this is a moment of laziness that I'm sure myself, being the first among you, can relate to. A point of lust in his life, a point of adultery, a point of murder. So what is it in David's life that God found favorable? I think it was his desire for purity. His desire for purity. Although David sinned all of these grievous sins, but yet when he was confronted, he deeply repented with sincerity and humbled himself before mighty God. And we see this humility carry through David's life. There came a time after Saul died that a man came and accused David of killing Saul. His name was Shimei. And he came and says, you're a bloodthirsty man. And now he's speaking now to the king. And the king said to him, just say the word and we'll be off with his head. You know what David responded? He said, no, let him curse. Because the Lord had said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? So he looked at this man cursing him and says, the Lord told him to curse me. What kind of humility is this? This was deep humility, where he felt he deserved this because of what he did. He deserves it. That's why also in every hour the church prays Psalm 50, which is a psalm of repentance of David. And it says to him that the one thing that God values most is what? A broken and humble heart, God shall what? God shall what? Not despise, right? God shall not despise. A contrite and a broken heart. This is what made David in the likeness of God. His heart, this pure heart, desiring to be pure. So when he fell, when his life was filled with sins like you and I, then really he ran to repentance. He ran to confession. He desired to remain pure. He couldn't stand the burden of sin upon his heart. This is what makes us to have this heart of God. There are some people that come very frequently to confess. And there was a story of one of the disciples of Arsenius, the monk. And he would come to him like 7 times a day. At a moment he would sin because he couldn't bear the sin upon his heart. This was this pure heart. I also remember speaking with a father who was speaking to one of the elders in the Deir Suryan monastery. And he said, you know, while I'm here, I'm going to confess, you know, to him. Right. And this elder had already passed away, Abuna Mateus Suryani, and he's departed. So he went to speak with him, And just, he didn't say anything yet. He said, Abuna, I have sinned. And Abuna just started crying and tearing. You know, so he was like, okay, I'm done. I can't say anything more than this. This is how sensitive this man was. Just one person, he didn't even hear any sin. But he said, I have sinned. So he felt the burden of his brother, and this is what led him, you know, to his tears. This desire for purity is what made David after God's own heart. So how can we have this heart of God? If we look at St. Mary, we can learn maybe to be disturbed at the idea of us being special or praised. She was disturbed when she was called highly favored one, full of grace, and so on. Blessed are you among women. This disturbed her, right? So this sense of feeling special or praised, perhaps maybe these words ought to disturb us a little bit. Not, maybe we can learn it, not in like a false sense of way, a false sense of humility, but more that I know that the honor and praise and glory that's given to me, it should not be directed at me, but to who? It should be directed towards God. Because any one of us who really understands themselves, know their weaknesses, know the burden of their sin, and know how great this is. And if anybody sees anything good in me, it's either because of God's grace given to me, or because God graced their eyes and gave me grace in their eyes and covered my sin in front of them. Not because of me, right? So perhaps we can be like St. Mary and adopt maybe this disturbance when we are praised or feel special. There's a story of the late Bishop Amba Sarabomon Abu Tarha. I probably told you this, Yani, before. But he was given the gift of casting out demons. So at one point, and he was in the Sa'id, I think his bishopric was somewhere in the Sa'id, and he was coming to see the Pope. And at this time, the Pope, there was somebody down in the reception who was demon-possessed, and they came and asked the Pope, please come and cast him out. He's demon-possessed. So the Pope said to them, okay, keep him down there. There's somebody coming who will cast him out. Because the Pope didn't have the gift. So he said, the gift is with Amba Sarabomon, so he'll come and cast out the demon. Right? Then he waited and he waited, and then Amba Sarabomon came and went and greeted the Pope. And the Pope said to him, I have, you know, a request from you. There's somebody down in the reception who has a demon. Please go, Yani, cast him out. And he said, no, I can't do that, Sayyidina. I can't do that, Yani, here in front of you. And he says, please go, I'm telling you. He says, no, Sayyidina, I can't go do it. You go cast out the demon. And then the Pope told him, he knows himself and says, I don't have the gift. So he says, by clerical authority, I command you to go and cast out the demon. So you know what he says? He says, Hadri Sayyidina, Shuri Sayyidina, but give me your cross. Give me what? Your cross. See? Humility is met with humility, and it goes back and forth. So he took his cross, went down, cast the demon, and when they said, oh, look at you, Yani, thank you so much for casting out the demon, and they started to praise him, what did he say? Ah, no. The cross, but I mean, whose the cross is whose? It's the Pope's. It's not my cross, it's the Pope's cross, and this is what casts out the demon. So this is humility. He found it disturbing, and he found ways to get around getting praise and feeling special from other people, although God gave him the gift. And perhaps this is why God gave him the gift, because of his humility. This, Yani, maybe leads me to another point. Any time that we pray for a gift, or we pray that God help us or give us something, it should always be coupled with, but God, give me the humility to bear this as well. Give me success in my school, and give me the humility to go along with it. Give me success in my career, but give me the humility to go around with it. Give me the ability to serve my children and to teach them, but give me the humility to go along with it. It should always be coupled with humility, if we want it to be something that is for the glory of God. There was also a story of another holy priest who is still alive. who God, or he was, you know, he found that God, every time he prayed for something, God would answer his prayers very quickly. So another priest who is telling this about this other priest, he says to him that now when he goes and he prays for somebody, he says, God, I don't want to pray for them because you answer immediately. And he says, I'll pray for them, but please don't show me when or how or what the solution is to whatever I prayed for. So he had prayed for somebody and prayed for a sick and asked God, don't tell me if they were healed or not. Don't reveal to me if they were healed, if they were got the job that they wanted, if they entered the school that they wanted, whatever it was, don't show me this. This is this heart where they're disturbed at feeling special or praised. What about David? And David had this broken spirit and was very humbled in the sight of God. If I say to suppose you have two children, right? One of them was a perfect child, right? Always did what he was supposed to. When you told him to do something, he would do it. Did well in school. And on top of that, he was very humble, right? And then you had another child who can be lachbat kathir, right? He messes up, but he had a nice quality. That every time he messed up, he would come and tell you everything and confess and ask how to help. And really was really sincere in his strive to be better. Not because his brother or his sister is perfect, but because he wants to be better in himself. Which one would we favor? Both. We would favor both. Or we ought to favor both. And there are some of us who would actually favor the one who was struggling and messing up more than the one who is perfect. Right? So this is like us. If I find myself, I'm like David, who mess up and sin, regardless of how grievous the sins are. But what makes us pure and holy is that we come back for repentance over and over again. This desire for purity, to not have anything between God and myself. St. Mary and David were not the only ones that are favored. But actually, we're all favored, my beloved. We're all favored. And in such a great way. Perhaps St. Mary was favored because she was graced by carrying the Logos, the Word of God. But we too are graced. We too are favored by God. How so? We are favored by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. The Logos is God, and the Holy Spirit is also God, right? And we are called as Christians and bearers of this Holy Spirit to nourish the Spirit that's within us. We're called to make our bodies suitable places for the Holy Spirit. The way we dress, the way we talk, the way we carry ourselves, the way we joke, right? Am I a bearer of this Holy Spirit? Am I a suitable place for this Holy Spirit? We always have to think of ourselves. Every time I leave my house, am I a bearer of the Holy Spirit? When people see me, will they see a temple of the Holy Spirit? Or will they see a temple of a harlot? Will they see a temple of the Holy Spirit or not? We're also called to be guided by this Holy Spirit. So we are graced by the grace of the Holy Spirit. And not only the Holy Spirit, we're also favored by being graced by Christ Himself. Right? St. Mary bore the Logos of God in her womb. We're not too far off. We bear the Logos of God in our stomachs. We partake of His body and His blood in the Eucharist. And we take Him and we eat of Him. And His members become part of my members. Right? This is the heavenly food that becomes part of me. And St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he says what? He chose us in Himself before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. accepted in the beloved. In Greek, this word accepted is charito, which means what? Graced or favored. So we were favored in the beloved. So we're not only favored in Christ by partaking of his Eucharist, but we are favored because we are in him and he in us. Right? His life dwells in me and I in him. And not only that, my beloved, we're also graced by the Father. We're also graced by the Father. The fact that we can call upon him and say, our Father, is a grace and favor. In the Old Testament, this was unheard of. Right? Because there was enmity between man and God. But now this enmity has been removed in Christ. And we can look up to the Father and call him our Father who art in heaven. Right? So, my beloved, we are favored, we are graced, not by only the Holy Spirit, not by only the Son, and not only the Father, but the whole Trinity. That's why you'll find in the praises and the liturgical services, we always give glory to the Trinity. We say through Christ Jesus our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, and the Father, everything is always in the Holy Trinity. Because to them is due all praise and glory and worship, because they all have found favor in us, and work in us and dwell within us. So today we learned of two godly people who were favored by God, and what qualities in them that gained the favor of God. Let us either be like Saint Mary or like David. If we are Saint, like Saint Mary, pure, let us be humble and not and be disturbed at praise or glory that come from others, knowing that all things and all good things come down to us from the Father of lights. There's nothing in me that is worthy of praise. And if we are like David, like myself, weak, sinful, and broken, then let us repent and desire this purity. My beloved, there's nothing more glorious, nothing more beautiful than for God to say to us, I see myself in you. I'll leave you today during this liturgy to ask ourselves this question. Does God see himself in me? What can I change in my life that he may see himself in me? That we might hear these beautiful words being said to us that you are highly favored in the sight of God. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.